Going into Romans chapter 15, and all I can say is the Lord sure is after us, isn't he? Praise be to God. So again, be of good cheer, brothers and sisters. He loves you, and we know that it is of the Lord, and we know that it's his desire, and it's his purpose to, again, have us to grow up into him in all things. And praise be to God. He puts that same purpose and desire in our lives because it's the life of Christ Jesus that lives in us. And I thank the Lord for that. And as we yield to that life and how simple grace works, we trust him. And everything comes by grace. Every increase in our life comes by grace. Nothing good ever comes to our life without the grace of God. So we thank him for this. We know that we're cared for, and we give him all the praise for it. So let's just jump right in tonight to chapter 15. And it says there, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." Now, you can see here, those that have been going on with this study and remembering from last week, the theme of chapter 14 continues on, brothers and sisters. It does. It's vitally important. Giving the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. Isn't it amazing how the Word of God reminds you over and over in very similar things and building upon, and really all of it is the love of God. And we thank God for these things and how faithful the Word is to us. But as it begins here, you got strong faith, just like it said in verse 22 of chapter 14. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. So if you've got strong faith, brothers and sisters, God help us to not be an arrogant idiot. And that is really the truth of the matter. We can get so high-minded and thinking we're something when we're nothing. And God help us to not act like ignorant children, even as we grow in knowledge, because we know if we just get caught away in our knowledge, because that's what it is, it just puffs up, and you don't know a thing when you're puffed up. But it's the love of God that edifies, and this is exactly what the Word is bringing to us tonight. And I thank God, and I commend you, brothers and sisters, and I thank the Lord, and especially, and I do give God all the praise for this, our teachers in this meeting, you are growing more lovely. Oh, I thank the Lord. There has been a transformation, and I thank God for these things. Not that it wasn't lovely before, don't get me wrong, but when you go after the Lord, you can't help but get more like him. You become more lovely. You become more like him. There's more praise. There's more rejoicing. You're already free, but you begin to enjoy the freedom and the grace of God. And God help us, brothers and sisters, to not just, again, thank God we do have this here. It's because of Jesus and the precious fellowship in the gospel of Christ, but fight for it in our homes and in your workplace and things of that nature. Whom he has made free is free indeed. Don't let them box you in. Thanks be to God. Just expand the much the more as you see the coming of the Lord draw so nigh. But see, as it's saying here, look to the infirm ones, the ones of little faith, as we read in 14. Encourage them. Don't belittle them. Don't go about life, brothers and sisters, pleasing yourself in your great faith. That's what people that are legal do, and they don't even really have great faith. They just think they do. You see what I'm saying? We can get so high-minded, and you can please yourself by putting everybody else down. You can please yourself because somebody's made big, you know, mistakes or different things of that nature. You're pleasing yourself because you're the one that rocks around striking your chest and saying, "I'm thankful I'm not like him." God help us, and we have to know these things, brothers and sisters. But for the grace of God, there go I. Love, and love on, and love the more. And that's only what Christ will do in your life. And thanks be to God, make yourself available to the Lord, not just for goody deeds, but make yourself available to the Lord. Father, thy will be done. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ is expressing here. That life, his life lives in you. That's not of you. You understand that? That's because Christ lives in you. And I thank the Lord for that. And I encourage ones that, you know, sometimes we it does seem to fall on different ones time and time again, different things that the Lord might have for the people and all of that. And instead of murmuring and saying, oh my goodness, it's just always on me and that type of thing, thank the Lord. Praise him for it. Be cheerful in that giving that he has given to you that is bringing through your life. Be willing for that. God will take care of it. He'll give you time of rest. But I thank the Lord that I want to trust God in the ministry that he has given us. This is his ministry. I've had so many people tell me about how to rest and how to take time off and all of those things. And I thank the Lord. The Lord's always kept me from that. I trust him for it. You know, can't you tarry just a little while longer? I'm not trying to pat myself or you on the back at all. Brothers and sisters, we are in the fight of fights. We are in the race of race, and you're running always. I remember watching those different ones that run for like 3 and 4 days straight to get that 100 miles in. You know, they run at night. I mean, they even put the marathoners to shame. They don't stop. They just keep going on. Don't you think you've gone far enough? Nope. We started this for one thing, and that was to finish. And praise be to God, what a joyful finish it will be, all because of Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, when we go about our lives to please ourselves, we miss the preeminent love. We miss it. It's something that eludes us. It's something that we'll never settle into. The Lord help us to not be those that are lovers of self more than lovers of God. If you're a lover of self more than lover of God, Christ Jesus has not fully grown up in you. It just doesn't work that way. And the Lord wants to take that over in our lives. And I do want to win his best, and I know you wouldn't be sitting under Paul's gospel unless the Lord graced you with that as well, too. We are graced people, praise the Lord, and so graced that we understand that this grace upon grace leads to his glory, and we thank the Lord for that. So instead of thinking about ourselves, brothers and sisters, what the word is telling us here, we need to be thinking about the precious soul of our brother. Amen? We need to be thinking about that soul, not just how they reacted. Many years ago, and we've began to mention this more and more from the pulpit as well, too. The Lord caused my heart truly see souls. You see people, you're going to get disappointed. You see people, in a sense, they're going to hurt. See a soul. Christ Jesus saw that soul. God help us to have that vision, and I'll tell you what, it will bring the love. And see, the meaning here in that is because we want to edify one another. We want to bring spiritual encouragement to one another. We want to look to the needs, praise God, in the spirit with one another, and let the love of God reign accordingly in our lives. That when we come together, we don't just gather. We do assemble, but we dwell together. Isn't that wonderful? It's good. It's pleasant. It's profitable, as the Word of God says, that we dwell together. And if you remember what that word dwell means, it means to settle down in marriage. And I praise God for these light upon light that he is continuing to pour out to us, brothers and sisters. That body, praise God, is his body. And that precious body that's going to be from within the body, that precious rib portion, he's still the head of that. Isn't that precious? Praise be to God. And that precious rib portion body is the body that the bride, in a sense, will marry. It's part of the head as well, too. So thanks be to God of this oneness that we have in Christ. So we do not want to provoke one another to wrath. We do not want to provoke one another with our liberties. We want to edify one another with truth and love. Amen. Praise the Lord. And again, this has nothing to do with compromising truth. It has nothing to do with that. This has everything to do with love and preferring the other before ourselves and not, again, wanting to be self-serving. And God help us truly to be the ones that Christ Jesus is living in. And as it says here, he pleased not himself. I tell you, in this world, that's the big thing that's coming at us all the time. Make sure you take care of yourself. Make sure you're good to yourself. Make sure you please. Make sure you do exactly what you want to do. Make sure you're, you know, and I mean, I listen to these ones telling these kids going to school, well, just make sure. How about let the Lord have his way? Amen. How about sometimes he might have you doing something that, you know, you really don't care to do, you don't want to do, you don't even like to do, but you praise him for it because you know he's got you doing it. And there's nothing better to do than what the Lord has you doing. If he's got you making brick for Pharaoh, praise him. Amen. Thanks be to God. As I've said to people before, you know, I know that God has graced people doing something that they've absolutely loved in this life and passion for growing up. And that's wonderful. But again, if God has given you that, as it said even in chapter 14, praise him for it. Give him the glory for it. But then if he hasn't, and I thank the Lord for this, and I can testify of it too. I never really, in a sense, once the Lord took me in a direction away from that music, it was never anything that I embraced and I loved. And I said, oh man, I'm just, you know, waiting to get up this morning to go do this. You know what I'm saying? In a sense, in the work or in the occupation. But I always gave him the praise as he comforted my heart. Well, honey, I've got something that you really love. I didn't give you something down here that you're going to fall in love with and miss what I have for you. So again, and in that, you know what I do? The same thing as the one that gets up every day and says, thank you for, in a sense, the passion that I thought I had. I give him the praise to thank you, Jesus, for the passion that I have in him. Amen? So we all just settle down and praise the Lord. Praise God. See how good he is. Now, let's look there at verse 3. Again, that is our encouragement, brothers and sisters. Deny self, and let's take up our cross. Amen? See, if we don't care about our brother, we are not on the bridal run. You can't just be a callous, careless person in that regard. It doesn't work that way. How can we say we love our Lord whom we see when we whom we do not see when we do not love our brother whom we see? And this is not judging. God help us to understand this. This is the evidence of the Spirit's love in a life. This is the evidence if the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. Amen. The evidence, I was thinking as the Lord was bringing this to my heart, it's the evidence just as real as what is the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And why is the evidence just as real? Because it's Scripture. It's the Word of God. It's the evidence of fruit. Amen. Why did he give us the type of the bride? Why did he talk about the young roe? Why did he talk about the virtuous woman? He didn't talk about the young cad. He didn't talk about the lady that just had such a filthy mouth. He didn't talk about, you know, the woman that had all of the complaints. Huh? Come on now. These are the things that the Lord has brought out very definitely, very apparent to us. And you know why? Because she's like him. She's just like him. Praise God, because he grows up into her in all things in that precious life. So we thank God for this. Now going on to 4 through 6. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Wow, isn't that wonderful? That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I do rejoice with you, brothers and sisters, all things written aforetime for us. My goodness, praise his name. I am so thankful that we believe the word of God. Let's go on over and rejoice in some of these things that, again, it's said in a couple different ways here. Go over to Ephesians chapter 3. Think of this, brothers and sisters, that these things were written aforetime. These things, again, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, before they even set a star in heaven, you think about the mind of Christ, the love that was thought upon, and the plan of God that was rejoiced in, the camaraderie in such a height of heights in the Godhead of what would come to pass. But even as it encourages us here, in Ephesians chapter 3, let's begin reading from verse 4. Whereby, and this is Paul speaking, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And really rejoice in this, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. So again, this precious gospel of Paul, the things that the Lord had brought to him in this precious dispensation, we're talking the Isaiahs, and we're talking David's and Ezekiel's and Moses and all of these wonderful men and women of God. It was not revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. But now is revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Oh, I just thrill in thinking again. You talk about what the Lord saw for you in ages past again. And if you go over to 1 Peter and in chapter 1, and verse 10, it said like this, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Again, these prophets, they prophesied and sought these things and spoke of these precious things that we know of, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, and what? With the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Praise the Lord, you see, it's only going to be through waiting and resting in the truth, brothers and sisters, this precious word of his grace that we have, that we have any hope. And you think of what God has brought to us. The Spirit, again, as it said, I've been with you, and he shall be in you. And that is the difference, that preaching with the Holy Ghost, that love that is now shed abroad in our hearts, brothers and sisters, has taken us to this level that we'll touch on here in a moment of this increasing hope, this abounding in hope. See, when we lay our hopes up in feeling, in happenings, in what we see, in relationships, in anything, it will fail us. Uncertain riches bring temporary happiness. Amen. You can fool yourself for a little while, but it won't last long, as opposed to the eternal things which are joy unspeakable, and they are forever. But once again, may we understand it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of the grace of God. It's not because of my diligence. It's not because of my efforts or things of that nature. It's all because of the grace of God. And then as we read this, back in verse 5 of going back to Romans 15, it only gets better, brothers and sisters. Read that again. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. See, God is assuring us, brothers and sisters, in this verse. He gives us all his patience. He does. He grants this to us. This is his purpose. It's been given to us. We don't strive for things. We just accept it because it has been given. It's imputed to us in the very life of Jesus Christ that lives in us. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Know these things. We ask for patience. We want patience. But praise be to God, all of the patience we'll ever need lives in us in the life of Jesus Christ. That's what's so wonderful. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. All the transformation that ever will need to happen in our lives, brothers and sisters, is living in you as a child of God. It is all there. Isn't that wonderful? I don't need to go here and there and everywhere to get it. Praise be to God. It's the word of his grace that I feed that life that lives in me, the life of Jesus Christ, and it grows that new man. That new man grows and begins to reign, takes the reins of my heart. Thanks be to God, the very mind of Christ begins to reign in my life and transform every single thought. Praise God, because that's the life that lives in us. Do you see how short of the mark it becomes in something that I think I have to do or I have to earn in order for this to transpire in my life? Praise God. Now, brothers and sisters, we understand we study to show ourselves approved unto God and the things of that, but I am a son of God. Amen. I already have that life. It's just a matter of feeding that life by the grace of God. And even the feeding, understand this very clearly, who fed her at the well? It's the Holy Ghost. It's the grace of God. Thanks be to God. And you know what? God even has to open my heart to receive the word of God. So even though you might think, well, you're a little bird open in your mouth, remember who had to open your mouth to receive the feeding. Do you see how dependent we are upon God? But how exciting that is, because I can completely fall upon his breast and lean upon him and say, Jesus, you will perform. You will perfect it. Praise be to God. I am confident in your grace. Amen. 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 How precious this is to our lives. Aren't you thankful? Praise be to God. He's enlightened your eyes to know and understand the grace of God. And the grace of God, so simply, is no effort in a sense of you. It is all freely taken. It's all freely given. So, this is what is so precious, that he gives us this in the life of Christ that lives in us. And that precious patience that he gives us makes us like-minded toward one another. Praise the Lord. We wait together, don't we? We dwell together. Hallelujah. We occupy till he comes. And thank the Lord that he's shown us these things. You know what? If he's called us to be one of those that just stay with the stuff, stay with the stuff. Thank the Lord. It's all good. And if he's called you to go out there and, you know, maybe you're kind of on the battle in the front line and all that, praise the Lord. Thanks be to God, we're going to share in the same thing. Hallelujah. He's got some different operations going on and a lot of joints in the body. But thanks be to God that that reward in the fully purposed ones will be the same crown of righteousness that Brother Paul was rejoicing for him and those also that loved the appearing of the Lord. Hallelujah. So we wait together. And isn't it incredible, brothers and sisters, that the glorious church, those ones, praise the Lord, that will go on, the rib portion that will glorify him right now, we must be like-minded one towards another. See, this means that his mind, praise God, is in us toward one another. Amen? I thank God. And when his mind is in us towards one another, we want to edify. That's it. It's about growing up in the Lord, isn't it? Amen. reprove, rebuke, exhort, all of those precious things. But we wait upon God. Amen? And it's always in love. But I thank God again that this is the mind that he gives us. And this like-minded, I want to point this out. It means to be agreed. It means to seek the same. It means to seek advantage together. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. That this is something so sweet that the Lord is doing so individually in each one of us. But brothers and sisters, we're his body. So as one part of the body profits or is increased, the ones that are in harmony with that body increase as well too. They rejoice in the rejoicing. They hurt and suffer when another part is hurting. But that all comes together, because even when, I cut my finger the other day pretty good. And if I would have just said, well, I don't care about that finger, I just cut it, it would have had a really bad infection. But thank the Lord that other parts of my body understood that and said, wow, this really hurts. We better take care of this thing. So let's nurture it and bind that wound and put salve on it and all of those different things. Because we want that finger restored to every bit and health of what that finger is. See how wonderful that is? And then praise God when something just delightful, you ever kind of get a nice back rub or something like that on you and you're feeling so good and everything, and praise the Lord and my back's feeling good and everybody's feeling, well, let's share that with the feet. So you have that rub on your feet and all of those different things, because it just goes all the way through the body. Praise God. Might be silly to some, but that ain't silly to me. Praise God, if we are really operating, praise the Lord, actually him operating in us is that oneness. That's exactly how it is. It's seamless. Praise God. Praise God it is. Now, he'll show us when we're otherwise minded, won't he? Amen. But what a beautiful thing it is to, again, to be agreed. You think about the cherubims, brothers and sisters. They were all in perfect step. When the Spirit moved, they moved. When it stopped, it stopped. And it was always in that direction. Their feet were straight. They never went astray. God help us. That's what the truth is. That's what the word of his grace does. So, how we need, praise God, to receive what we have been hearing in this study of Romans. And especially is what we're studying tonight, how we need to receive the love of the 14th chapter to have this come and be manifest in our life. And see, I want to be very sincere, brothers and sisters, tonight, because I know in my life there'd been times I had said this. Well, I know the Lord's going to perform it. Well, I know the Lord's going to perform it. I know the Lord's going to perform it. Huh? Okay, now. Are we saying that in faith? Are we saying that being hardened and stiff-necked? And there's a difference, brothers and sisters, and God help us to be sincere when we say this. Yes, the Lord will perform the good work which he's begun. I know he will. But how hard are we going to make it? How, and more importantly, how long, praise God, will we put him off? And I always remember so sweetly when I had said that really snippet to a brother that I know loved me, but I wasn't going to receive the love, and how God chastened my heart at that moment, and I thanked the Lord for it. He assured me that he would perform it, but son, is your orneriness going to prevent it from happening before the first trump? Think about these things, brothers and sisters. It's the truth. We want to encourage one another, but let the word of God truly saturate us to, again, to perform these things in our life and to perform them in the readiness of the wife for Christ. Amen? Thank the Lord. See, people are going to know. Let me tell you something. That innumerable multitude, when that tear is wiped from their eyes, they know. There's a knowledge there. There's an understanding. There was a hurt that came through. Now, again, there will never be in heaven a tear. There will never be any sorrow. There will never be anything of that there. But that time leading up to it. My goodness, Jesus, when this life leaves this body, I just want it to be from joy to more joy to more joy. Amen. Praise God. And we thank him for these things. And that see, again, goes back to that true, that bride that is just so overwhelmed with the wedding that's about to come. So let's glorify him with one mind and one mouth, and let's completely be tender to one another. Let's completely be fully purposed with one another, and let's truly be fully loving with one another. We got a lot to pray about, don't we? Huh? Praise God. Always continuing in prayer, not being complacent, not saying, well, Lord, boy, I'll tell you what, we sure had a good Sunday. Let's talk about that good Sunday for some time. You know, I thank the Lord. God gives us wonderful Sundays. He always does. Why wouldn't he? He always gives us his best. Praise God. But I thank God that it'll encourage different ones and all that. And I thank the Lord that there might be a sermon or so that you like to listen to and might encourage your heart. But let me tell you something. He's got the word for you today. Go on. Go on. Don't just hold yourselves down. Go on. I assure you that. That's what he was telling Joshua. Honey, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. He is. Now, let's go on. It's me. It's always me. Okay? Praise God. It's always my word. Hallelujah. And, you know, he's just got something for you new every day because your salvation's new every day. Praise God. Amen. All right. Let's pray for one another. Verse 7. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Oh, isn't that wonderful? He received us to the glory of God. Praise God. We are vessels prepared afore unto glory. Vessels to the praise of the glory of his grace. What don't we want to get about that, huh? And what he's done, and he did that all for us, to bring many sons to glory. Hallelujah. And you talk about the fullness of that glory, the double portion message that we have now, again, that those prophets and different ones, they wanted to look into what they were ministering. You knew that they were graced in their hearts to say, you know what, this just ain't the story here on the surface. There's something more here. Well, sweet Daniel said, Lord, I want to see all this stuff. And honey, I love you so much, and praise be to God. Faithful, faithful servant, and you'll have your full portion to what I'll give you. Praise God. But thank you, Jesus. Again, don't be murmuring that we live in this time, brothers and sisters. I, again, have told you that story many times, and I'm sure, I'd have loved to have seen the Red Sea. I would have loved to have seen all these things. But in my heart, I already do. Thank God. It's just like, when you kind of, something happens, but you weren't necessarily there, and somebody comes back and says, oh man, this just happened, and you're like, wow, I can see it, that really just happened. That's the word of God. That's our word. That's exactly what God has here for us. And pray in spirit that, again, that he just overwhelms us with the reality of the word of God. There isn't anything real but his word, praise his name. But this is the evidence here of verse 7, that we receive one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now, that's a high mark, isn't it? Yeah. Surprised we're not down on our knees and, Lord, I need help here, huh? Thank God that he's building that in our lives. The joy to receive one another. See, that's the full joy in gathering face to face. That was what Paul, even getting back to the Thessalonians, he wanted to be with those ones of like precious faith. John, as he spoke there, that my joy may be full, that our fellowship would be face to face. Thanks be to God. There's a joy. Amen? If it's living and alive in you, to be around, praise God, people that love the Lord with their heart, soul, and might. So do we receive one another as Christ receives us? Or are we still embracing one another in doubts, in hesitation, in resentment, whatever? See, brothers and sisters, God so sweetly, and I'm so thankful to God, the things he brings us through in our lives and in our meeting and all of those different things. And, you know, you got to watch this and you got to watch that one and you got to do that. No, you'd love. You let the Lord take care of it. It doesn't mean a dummy and get taken this and taken in that. I'm not talking about that. But when you're talking about the truth and wanting somebody to run for God's best, you don't try to seek, well, what are your intentions? Huh? Well, I know what mine are. It's just my dirty self-righteousness and asking something so stupid. Amen? Come on now, and thanks be to God again for what he has done. Because you know what? He's going to break forth. Is it sincere or not? Is this something that we've run just kind of winging our arms in the air? Or do we really have strides, praise God, to finish with a full joy? Are we fully purposed in that? And the Lord put that love in our hearts and in our desire. We want the brethren to win him. And that means all of them, praise God. Because why? Because she is like him. She's like him. That's why she doesn't embrace with hesitation. She doesn't embrace with resentment. The bride is Christ-like. The bride is not kind of Christ-like or almost Christ-like. The bride loves with his love. Amen. Praise God. And that love continues to grow. So we can attempt in our minds to justify why we want to act this way or that, or try to again say, well, this is my excuse. But see, truth always cuts it right down to size. It's not when we hesitate, when we resent, when those types of things, brothers and sisters, overtake our lives, we're being selfish. We really are. We're not allowing the love of God really to love through our lives. We're stopping. And the Lord help us to allow him to break through our lives in that full agape love. Verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. Isn't that precious, brothers and sisters? What a wonderful plan of God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful plan of God. Thank you, Lord, again, that here we are at this time. His great mercy and love that brought us to Christ. And we sing this and we rejoice in this. And all that is within us, we rejoice. Praise God that we are his people. We are the family, the sons of God. And thank the Lord. Let us praise him together. Let us thank him together for this precious family. Cherish what God has given us in the life of his son in us. That we take care and nurture, praise the Lord, the goodness that he has brought to us. And then in verse 12, and he says, and again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. What's so precious about that is back in Isaiah chapter 11, that's what was prophesied, is that there would be that trust, there would be that rest for the Gentiles that would come out of that root of Jesse, obviously our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And praise be to God again. It just thrills me to think how we are on the mind of God always. How his care is always for us. How, praise the Lord, that his thoughts to us are more than the sands of the sea, more than the stars in heaven. And by grace, through faith, may we trust him even the more. Now, we're going to finish up tonight with verse 13. And I will say this as we get into this. This is one of the high water mark verses of the Word of God. So, Lord, just even ramp it up right now in my heart to be attentive in the things that you're bringing forth. It says in verse 13, now. So this isn't at a future time. This isn't, well, I'll wait when it's more convenient. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I love the sergeant at arm, Paul, calling to us now. Hallelujah. And that's everybody tonight. Now. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what we're going through, whatever trial we're facing, whatever things that something that seems it's just overtaken us or overwhelmed us. No. Right now is the time that the God of hope fill you with all joy. See, not just some, not just a piece, but all joy and peace, and it only comes one way, in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. See, there it is, brothers and sisters, that the faith which worketh by love. You never have that overcoming, overabounding, head over heels, in a sense, in love, faith without love. Faith worketh by love. And I thank God, again, that is the Holy Ghost. He comes in and he takes the love of God and he sheds it abroad in our hearts, that we have faith, praise his name, that becomes even the most holy faith, that precious faith that is just unwavering and stands with stands, and having done all, stands. But as we get into this verse 13, I want you to think back how we broke into this tonight with verse 4. Let's go back and read verse 4 one more time. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Amen. So that's how it was brought through. That's what was written. The original things that were written for us. And I think about even how the prophets wrote these things, that we might have hope in the Scriptures. That's how it began. That's how it was. Praise God. And oh, what the truth has brought to us. But now let's go back and say again that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. But wait a second, something's happened. We got down to verse 13. And let's hear it again. How's it brought to us? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope, not might have hope, but abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. What encouragement he's brought. And I pray that we see the much the more as it again builds here. This is not just truth, brothers and sisters, but this is the double portion, the truth in love, the Holy Ghost, the better thing, the Holy Ghost that has been with you and shall be in you. We have the very divine love of God. We've got the power of the Holy Ghost. We have the love of God that is shed abroad in our heart, and that is the effectual, fervent power of the preeminent love. It is right there if we will yield to it. Praise God. Amen. It's all right there. And I just thank him for these things, brothers and sisters, because, again, we can believe God for all of this. See, what we have come through in chapters 14 and 15 is if this fruit of the Spirit is living and alive in us, brothers and sisters, we will be a full joy saint. We will be full of joy. Amen. It will be that way. I mean, sure, there'll be some days and different times it might be a little sorrowful, but the joy, that full joy just sustains. You're not going to be one that seeks contention. You won't be one that wants to promote strife. You won't be one that's questioning what God did or what God hasn't done. And that's the truth. You become one that says, Lord, thou knowest. And I thank the Lord. He brings us to these times, brothers and sisters, that, you know, really, God increase our faith and continue to increase our faith. And don't think it insulting. When you truly stand in truth and in love, even though some might be offended at certain times because they might be in a childish way or in a childish period in their life, brothers and sisters, it will do them good as you stand in truth and love. It will. It's not the most convenient thing in a way. It's not the easiest thing to do. But let me tell you something. It's the only joyful thing there is. And you are so glad you do. Stand in the love of God. Now, we stand in that, brothers and sisters, and the joy of the Holy Ghost begins to take over your life. And it's the truth. You'll transform in your life from a murmurer to a worshiper who worships him in spirit and in truth. It's the truth, isn't it? Thank God. Because you know what? Your mind's not occupied with the things down here. We understand God has given us these different occupations in our life. And when I say occupations, I'm a husband, I'm a dad, pastor, all of these different things. But see, when I start to focus on those things, I can get fearful. I could get overwhelmed. I could get a lot of things. But you notice the problem is I. And as I told you, as the eyes line up, it's I. And that's the truth of the matter. It's him. It's Lord, thou knowest. It's let this mind, his mind, the mind of Christ be in you. I has been completely taken out of the way. It's him. It's Christ in me. It's that life, praise God, that is there that beats my heart, gets my brain to think. All of those things, as yielding to God, again brings that peace that passes all understanding. And in that, brothers and sisters, the evidence of all joy, praise God, not just joy from time to time, not just joy sometimes, but continual peace in believing, abounding in hope, all through the power of the Holy Ghost, that's the evidence of a full joy. And as I close this out, the Lord encouraged my heart. Go back and really rejoice in the scriptures. Go back and read Proverbs 31 about that virtuous woman. We need to pray for these things to be evident in our lives, and that God continue to, again, show himself mighty in us. The meditation of the mind of that readied wife, all there in Philippians 4:8. Think of these things. Meditate on these things. Those lovely things, those true things. God help us to not be consumed and having our minds captivated with the things of this life. I thank God. There's always going to be that battle, brothers and sisters. But as we yield again to Christ in you, the hope of glory, oh, how he defeats all these things. And I'll tell you what, if these things be in you and abound, talking about the things of Philippians 4:8 and the things of the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31, you know what? There won't be bitterness in our lives. Amen. Praise God. There'll be a tenderness, brothers and sisters, and in a tender field, oh, the fruit that can come forth, and how full of fruit a life is like, is in that. But if there be bitterness, I thank the Lord, as again, he convicts us time and time again and chastens us with his word. Isn't it finally time to turn it over to God? Really, isn't it finally time? Praise the Lord. We trust him. He'll perform the good work that he's begun. But let him perform it now. Right now. Amen? See, even as he is taking you through it, you know that he's delivered you from it. But there's a tenderness as you yield to him in that confidence of, Lord, your grace is sufficient for me. I don't need to be hardened about this anymore. I don't need to be stiff-necked in a sense in not wanting to receive this from you. I believe you for this. Hallelujah. And truly, brothers and sisters, that's the healing. It's done. It's finished. Praise God. He may still keep me in the furnace. But thanks be to God that his grace sustains. His grace covers it all. His grace takes care of it all. And his grace, praise the Lord, is what we need to have tender in our lives in every bit. For that is a place, and I'll finish with this, that might be bitter, is a place that is lacking oil in our lives. It prevents our lamps from burning bright. And remember, the bride, she's a fiery one. The cherubim lovers, they have the wings that touch. Actually, they're the wings that kiss over the mercy seat. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. And I do thank the Lord for what he's doing in our lives and what he's doing in this meeting. It has been such a precious grace to us to see ones going on in the Lord. That, you know what, we haven't just folded our hands and said, oh, I'm just doing fine. Oh no, praise God, you got them open. Lord, I need more. I need more. Because you know what? If I'm drawing breath, praise God, you got more. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.